Let's just go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us. Thank you, Father, for that work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. We're full of thanksgiving and we say thank you, Father. We exalt you, Lord. We've come to fellowship this evening. We declare and decree that as we go into the word, our eyes and understanding is enlightened to behold the riches that you've bestowed upon us by the work of redemption. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. There is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught. I will declare and make bold to say that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This evening we would we're going to continue in the series we are presently on, investigating scriptures series 3b, and we're dealing with the Holy Communion table. We're trying to see what God's word says about the Holy Communion and just explain God's word concerning the practices we do as saints. We trust it's been a very beautiful time. So today we would look at John's narrative of the communion table, which in the real sense will lead us to what we are going to explain today, which really is the fact that John pointed the attention or our attention in his writing to something significant, you know, which we call feet washing today. We're going to examine what John really taught about the washing of feet and feet washing. You know, so if you're with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. It says, Paul tells Timothy, he says, study to show thyself as approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, we've established over time and over again that word there, study, is a word that is similar to the word be diligent. Yeah, Paul uses that same word in the same 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 9 when he says, do thy diligence to come unto me. Yeah, so that word there, study to show thyself as approved unto God, can be read as be diligent, yeah, in showing that you are approved of God. Yeah, so be diligent really to show, so give yourself to diligence, yeah, as a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, verse 16 now says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So basically, we're just sticking with, you know, Paul's instruction to Timothy. And by extension, we've said that instruction applies to you and I today. Yeah, so it means that the saint is to have a proper disposition of diligence while going through scriptures so that he can rightly divide the word of truth. Hallelujah. So we're going to be looking at John's narrative on the Passover. Turn with me to John 14. Look at John 14. John chapter 13 verse 1. See what it says there. John 13 verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now before the feast of the Passover, so there was a feast that was about to happen, or a feast that happened really. And from our previous teachings, we've come to establish that that feast was initiated or was initiated by Moses in the book of Exodus as recorded. So the Passover feast, the feast of the Passover, was something that was initiated by Moses, you know, to the Israelites to bring to them or to remind them of the deliverance that they had. Yeah, from the destroyer, you know. So John, we looked at Matthew 26 has given us a narrative. We've looked at that over and over, and in every teaching we've examined in this series, you looked at Mark and Luke. Yeah, but John, we need to pay attention to what John really says about it. So look at John. So look at verse 2. And supper being ended, yeah, so that's after they had finished eating, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Look at verse 3. Jesus knew. So all that John mentions about that feast of the Passover, we can see it only in verse 1. Yeah, now before the feast of the Passover. So look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he has come from God, he went to God. Look at verse 4 carefully. So John said almost nothing about the Passover. That's very important to note. John said almost nothing about the Passover. John said almost nothing about the Passover. So after the Passover, something significant happened or started or began or happened, really. Yeah, he was going to do something significant. Let's see from verse 4. He riseth from supper, that is after they are finished observing the feast of the Passover, as said in verse 1. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garment. What does that mean? He put aside his garment and he took a towel and gathered himself. Yeah, he took a towel and gathered himself. Look at verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin. Yeah, so in case you are not familiar with this story, what is about to be explained is really what we call feet washing. What we call the feet washing. Feet washing, right? So after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was gathered. So it means that Jesus, remember, look at verse 4. He laid aside his garments. Then he wrapped himself with towel. So, from verse 4, John begins to point our attention to something. So, unlike Matthew, who pointed our attention to the nitty-gritty or the things that happen in details on the Lord's table, or rather on the Passover table, John now gives us a different twist to it. So, he now showed us something that happened afterwards. So, it will mean that the other accounts might not have given details of the feet washing, but John gives us details of the feet washing. Now, John did not give us details of the Passover feast, but other accounts give us details of the Passover feast. So from verse 4 downwards, John begins to focus on feet washing. Yeah, so first of all, it is important to know that the activity of feet washing did not start with Jesus. You know, just like we've seen in all these sacred cows we are dealing with, baptism did not start with Jesus. Jesus didn't instruct anybody to put anybody into water. Yeah, Holy Communion, what we call Holy Communion today, which really is the feast of the Passover, yeah, did not start with Jesus. Yeah, the feet washing also didn't start with Jesus. So Jesus came and met. In fact, let's see the law of first mention. Remember from our first series one, we established some principles in Bible study. Yeah, let's see how the practice of feet washing really was from the beginning. Let's just look at the law of first mention. The first place it was mentioned in scriptures was the book of Genesis chapter 18 verse 4. Genesis chapter 18 verse 4. See what it says there. It says, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Yeah, that's the first mention of using water to wash thy feet as a practice. Yeah, really, as we could say, as a practice, or just first, the first mention. So we can see it as a sign of hospitality. Yeah, we can see it as a sign of hospitality. Look at verse 2. And lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. So there was this, we have three men approaching. Yeah, and upon this approaching, we see that verse 3, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Then he now says, let a little water, yeah, I pray thee, be fetched and wash your feet so that you can rest. So he saw three people and showed a sign of hospitality. Look at chapter 19, verse 2. And there came two angels to Sodom and said, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, verse 1 rather, seeing them, rose up to meet them. So we can take that again. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray thee. So I wish for you to come in into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nah, but we will abide in the street all night. Yeah, so that's a sign of hospitality. So it was usually we see washing of feet as a sign of hospitality, as we have seen in Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19. Yeah, also it was also a sign of it was a requirement to measure a widow's hospitality or a widow's ability to be hospitable or a widow's ability to show hospitality. Yeah, look at 1 Timothy 5:10. Let's run quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. So remember, we've seen washing of feet in Genesis 18, washing of feet in Genesis 19. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Genesis, 1 Timothy 5, right? Verse 10. See what it says. Okay, look at verse 9. 1 Timothy 5, 9. Let no widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Yeah, so Paul was just giving a requirement for, you know, showing what, who should really be considered as a widow. Yeah, look at verse 10. Now, let's read that again. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. So really, Paul, like I said, giving a requirement for what you call a widow. A widow. You know, so when you see 80, that means there's an age is given. I think a score should be about 20 or thereabout. So 80 would be 320s. That'd be like 60 years old. So he says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. Yeah, having been a wife of one man. Look how it now says in verse 10. Well reported for or of for good works. Yeah, verse 10, the widow must be well reported of for good works. That means the widow must be well known for her good works. Look at the next thing. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers. Yeah, so really, English. Yeah, so if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers. So one of the criteria that Paul was giving Timothy to know a real widow is by what? First of all, you must not be under 80. Second of all, there must be good report heard from you or about her. Yeah. Third of all, she must have brought up children. Yeah. Fourth of all, she must have lodged strangers. That is, meet people randomly and lodge them. In lodging them, see what it says. If she has washed the saints' feet. Yeah. So she must have lodged strangers. She must have washed the saints' feet. Yeah. If she has relieved the afflicted. If she has diligently followed every good works. Yeah. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanting against Christ, they will marry. Yeah, so Paul was just admonishing Timothy, a bishop, as to how to handle certain people and categories of people within the local church. Yeah, so we see that she must have washed the saints' feet. Yeah, so that will be more of cultural than doctrinal. Yeah, that will be more of cultural than doctrinal. So we must see that there were good works reported of her. Acts of humility must be seen. Act of service must be seen. Hallelujah. So let's go back to John 13. To go back to John 13, where we really were was verse 4. Verse 4 and verse 5. So he riseth up from supper, that's after the feast of the Passover. Jesus riseth up, yeah, and laid aside his garment and took a towel and guarded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was guarded. So we can almost picture that Jesus was naked. Yeah, we can almost picture that Jesus was without clothes. Yeah, because it says he put away his garment, that is his clothes, and gathered himself with towel. So we could assume that there was no woman in there. Really? Yeah, we could assume that there was no woman in there because he had to use towel. So it means that if we are to do what Jesus said we should do, let's assume what Jesus said to do is to be washing our feet. It means that, so just imagine you come to church on a Sunday and you see me remove my suit and you see me remove my tie and my shirt and I tie towel. Yeah, just imagine. Yeah, just imagine. Yeah, just imagine me with towel. Yeah, I just walk in into the auditorium here with towel garden. You know, I'm here. Pastor, I'm here to wash your feet. Yeah, so it means that if we are doing this, when the saint is to, there's some cultural practices that in doing them we should adhere to the instructions fully and follow attentively. For instance, the example of the unleavened bread. For you to do Holy Communion, you should at least follow and not use use unleavened bread. Bread without yeast. Hallelujah. Yeah, and you should use bread without yeast and wine. Hallelujah. Yeah, so if you are to follow these Jewish practices, follow it to the uttermost. Follow it to the end. Follow it in details. Hallelujah. So Jesus removed his garment and he took towel and gathered himself. Look at verse 6. Look at what happens in verse 6. Peter being forward, then cometh he to Simon Peter. So Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him. So look at it. Jesus just came to Simon Peter. Simon Peter said. Yeah, if, there's no record of a conversation that Jesus said to Simon Peter. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him. So there was nothing said by Jesus to Simon, but Peter said. So Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? That's Peter being forward. Yeah, I mean, it is okay for Peter to assume, having seen him get a basin with water, ask them to pour water in the basin, having seen the Lord Jesus Christ move his garment to guard himself with towel, yeah, he asked, Lord, do you want to wash my feet? That's really what he's asking. Yeah, forget about the King James rendition, rather. Look at verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, listen attentively. Dear saints, yeah, follow attentively, please and please and please. Yeah, look at what Jesus said unto him. So, Jesus came unto Peter. Jesus didn't say anything to Peter, but Peter asked a question. What was the question Peter asked? Will you wash my feet? Then verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So what I do, you will not understand or know now, but you will understand or you shall know thereafter or hereafter. Remember Luke 24. Go back to Luke 24 quickly. Go to Luke 24. Hold your hands in John 10 and go to Luke 24 quickly. Luke 24. Look, remember, what did he tell him in John 13 verse 7? That which you see me do now, you may not know it now, but you shall know hereafter. Look at Luke 24 verse 44. And Jesus said unto the disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. What was while I was yet with you? It means before his death, his burial, and resurrection. So these are the things which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So the things that the law of Moses said, that is the writings of Moses, the prophets said, yeah, and the Psalms, they were the same thing Jesus said before his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the same things he is saying, or he was saying at this point in time in Luke 24:44. Yeah, what did he do? Then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scripture. What does that mean? He opened for the first time their mindset that they might synchronize scriptures together. Yeah, we see from Acts chapter 1 that Jesus taught for 40 days. Yeah, so if you go back to John 13, go back to John chapter 13, let's see what happens in John 13 there. Look at John chapter 13, verse 7. Let's see what John 13, 7 there says. Yeah, look at it again. It says, John 13, 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So, ideally, Jesus' answers were not really corresponding with what Peter was asking. Okay, let's read further. Look at verse 8. Peter now said unto him again. So now Jesus has said something to Peter. Now Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. What did Peter say? Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. What did Peter say? Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Thou shalt never. So Peter told Jesus, you cannot wash my feet now, dear Lord and Savior. Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Okay, let's read that better. Jesus answered him and said, what was he answering? He was answering answering the statement Peter made. Jesus, you cannot wash me. What was his answer? See, look at it. If your Bible has what I'm about to say, yeah, do well to check another Bible, because that Bible is actually wrong. Yeah, so if you check your Bible and you see Jesus answered him saying, if I wash not thy feet, thou hast no part in me. If that is what is your Bible, you need to do well to go put that Bible aside, yeah, as we continue this teaching. Yeah, what did Peter say? Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. What did Jesus say? He says, if I wash you not, thou hast no part with me. Jesus didn't say, if I wash not your feet, thou hast no part with me in me or with me. What did Peter say? Peter said, you cannot wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash thee not. Not if I wash not your feet. If I wash thee not. That word there, wash, means to make clean. Yeah, from our previous teachings, you know, we've made emphasis on, you know, the washing of the spirit, the cleansing of the spirit. Yeah, look at Ezekiel 36 quickly. What did Peter ask him? Ezekiel 36, 25. What did Peter ask him? What did Peter tell him? You cannot wash my feet. What did Jesus say? If I wash not you. If I wash thee not, so if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Not if I do not wash your feet. Take note, Judas was in this meeting. Judas' feet were washed, or Judas' foot were washed. But Judas, yeah, so it will mean that there was a definite reason for Jesus' reply. If I wash thee not, not if I wash not your feet. Remember, what had happened? What had happened was the feast of the Passover. If you read corroboratively, you will see that after the details of what Jesus had done on the table with the bread and the wine, this is my body broken for you, yeah, this is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins, yeah, after that, so it will mean that the next thing he will do will not be different from that thing he has done with bread and wine. Why? Luke 24 tells us, that which I said while I was yet with you are the things that I'm saying now and the things the prophet of old said. So it means that the narrative that Jesus preached, the narrative that Jesus explained, or the switching from the Passover table to the washing of feet would have the same message. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's take it gradually. Look at Exodus 36. Look at Exodus 36 verse 25. Look at Exodus chapter 36, verse 25. Exodus 36, verse 25. So what it says there? It says, then will I sprinkle. So this is as an utterance by prophet Ezekiel. Yeah. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Therefore, dear saints, remember, nobody can sprinkle water on you and that will make you clean. Nope, nope, nope. Even physically, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, so when you see that utterance, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. What is you shall be clean? Verse 26, a new heart will I give you. So you shall be clean simply means sprinkling clean water is figurative for a new heart will I give you. What is a new heart will I give you? A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you the heart of flesh. So what is it explaining? I will sprinkle clean water on you. What did Jesus tell Peter? If I sprinkle clean water on you not, you have no part in me. Yeah, what did I do? I just replaced Ezekiel 36 with John 13. Yeah, John 13, Ezekiel 36 says, I will sprinkle clean water and that will make you clean. Yeah, what did John 13 say? Jesus told Peter, if I do not wash you, yeah, thou had no part in me. Look at Ephesians 5:26. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Look at what Ephesians. Remember, what made you cleansed? Yeah, remember, what made you cleansed? What made you cleansed? What cleansed you, really? Yeah, it is actually the Spirit. How was that done? Look at Ephesians 5, verse 26. See what it says? It says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So what is the water of God? It is his Spirit. What is his Spirit? It is his word. Hallelujah, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What was that speaking about? Speaking about what? The new birth. The new birth. Yeah, in fact, you can read it. Look at verse 25. Yeah, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify the church and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. So how do you become a partaker of that great cleansing? It's by believing the word, which is receiving the Spirit. Look at Romans 10, 8. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8, quickly. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Look at Romans 10, verse 8. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Yet, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yeah, so remember we're saying the same. Remember we've explained that before. Yeah, he's saying one and the same thing. Yeah, what makes a man saved is the believing in the heart. So a man is saved by the word. A man is cleansed or is clean by the word. So a man is cleansed by the washing, by the cleansing. Okay, go back to John. So who is responsible for the washing? It is Christ Jesus himself. Look at John 14. Look at John 14, 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Look at that carefully. John chapter 14, verse 16. Look at that carefully. John 14, 16. See what it says there. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That word there, another comforter, is allos parakletos. Yeah, that word there, allos, means the same, one of the same, that is really the same. Yeah, there's allos in the Greek, and there's heteros in the Greek. Yeah, this word there, another, is not the one that speaks of a different other. He's actually speaking of himself. Okay, in fact, in case you think Jesus is giving you somebody else, look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So when you are seeing another comforter, he's really saying, I will come to you. I will come and live in you by my spirit. Yeah, so verse 16 of John 14, I will pray the Father, yeah, that he shall give you another comforter. Really, that is the same comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So really it is that he will abide with you forever. Yeah, that's why it tells you in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the assurance of the gospel is in the fact that the Spirit dwells in the saints. Yeah, that means that once a man believes the gospel, he begins to be a possessor of the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit begins to indwell a man that believes the gospel. Yeah, that Spirit indwelling is the blessings of Abraham we see in Romans and Galatians. Yeah, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles is not money. It can never be money. Yeah, so it is about the blessedness of the Spirit. Yeah, blessed be our God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What are spiritual blessings? We have forgiveness of sins. We have the Spirit in us. Yeah, the saints will do well to leave the full stop where the full stop is. What did Jesus shed his blood for? He shed his blood for forgiveness of sins, full stop. What is forgiveness of sins? It's equal to eternal redemption. What is eternal redemption? It's equal to eternal forgiveness of sins. What is eternal forgiveness of sins? It's equal to eternal indwelling of the Spirit in the heart of one who believes. So, Jesus, look at it. So, if you say, I will not leave you comfortless, I will give you another comforter. How did he say that? I will come to you. I will come to you. So Jesus was the one doing the coming. It means that Jesus was the one doing the work of the Spirit. It means that Jesus was the one cleansing, or Jesus is the one that makes clean. Yeah, Jesus is the one that makes clean. Yeah, for a man to be born again, he must first be born of water, that is the Spirit. Yeah, so being born of water is being born of the Spirit, which is really being born of the Word. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's go back to John 13, the previous chapter. John 13. Do well to follow as much as possible. Do well to follow as much as possible. Look at John chapter 13, this time around rather. Look at John 13. So, look at John 13. So, look at it. Look at verse 7 again. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Then Peter said unto Jesus, thou shalt never wash my feet. Don't wash my feet, Lord. Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. If I cleanse you not, thou hast no part in me. What does that mean? For you to be a partaker of that one bread, you remember from our previous teachings, for you to be a partaker of that one bread, that one body, you must be washed by the water of God. What is the water of God? The water of God is the Spirit. What is the Spirit? It is actually the cleansing, the new birth. What is the water of God? The water of God is his word. So it means that, remember, if I wash thee not, what did Peter say? Thou shalt never wash my feet. Yeah? So Jesus did not argue with him. He just told him, if I wash you not, thou hast no part with me. So what does it mean to be a part with Jesus? It means that you are one bread. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 10. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, quickly, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. See what it says carefully. 1 Corinthians 10, 17. For we being many are one bread. What did Jesus tell Peter? If I wash you not, you will not be a part of me. What does one bread mean? It means that we are part of that bread. In fact, in case you are not clear, look at it again. It says, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Remember, what does it mean to be a partaker? It means to be a part of. What did Jesus tell Peter? If I do not wash you, you will not be a part of me. What did Paul now tell you in 1 Corinthians? He says, we are now one bread. Why? Because God has washed us. How did he wash us? He washed us by spirit. How did he wash us by spirit? He gave us a new heart. How did he give us a new heart? He gave us his spirit. What did Ezekiel say that? I will sprinkle clean water on you. So, for we being many, so you and I, yeah, physically speaking, you and I, we are two different people. Yeah, if 50 of us gather in the auditorium, we are 50 people. But for we being many, into bracket, for example, 50 people, we are one bread. We are one body. Why? Because we all are partakers of that one bread. How did you become a partaker of one bread? You believe the gospel. Yeah, so like Jesus would say, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, give us this day our daily bread means give to us that eternal bread that satisfies. Yeah, give to us that sufficient bread. What is sufficient bread? Jesus tells you in John 6, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So go back to John. We're explaining feet washing this evening. We trust God that we would do justice to this. Yeah, so go back to John chapter 13. Look at John 13 verse 8 again. Look at it again. What did Peter say? Thou shalt never wash my feet. Oh, no. Lord Savior, you will never. No. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What did Paul tell us? Now that we have been washed, we are partakers of one bread, one body, which is one spirit. So if you are washed, you don't need to be washed. That's what Jesus was telling him. Okay, look at verse 9. Jesus was talking salvation. Yeah, to be a part of that one bread is what you call salvation, the giving of the spirit, eternal redemption. Look at verse 9. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. What was Jesus teaching? If you are washed, you don't need to be washed. Let's examine that. Because you will be washed all through. What did Ezekiel say? I will sprinkle clean water on you. What does that mean? I will wash you generally. What does that mean? It means that I will give you a new heart. What does that mean? I will give you my spirit. So, Jesus was teaching about washing them and demonstrating with washing feet. That's very important to take note in your notes. I'll say that again. Jesus was teaching about washing them and demonstrating that by washing feet. Let me say that again. Jesus was teaching about washing them, and he was demonstrating that teaching of washing them by using the washing of feet. Remember Luke 24. That which I said while I was yet with you are the things which I say now. Yeah, so if we read Luke 24 very well, you now see that there was a promise that was made. We tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That is the giving of the Holy Spirit. So look at what Peter now said. Remember, Peter first said, you cannot wash my feet. Remember, take note, follow attentively. Peter first said, you cannot wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Peter now went forward to say something. He says, Simon Peter said unto him, verse 9, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. What is Peter saying? They've already told Peter that you have to wash. So the fact that Jesus told Peter, I need to wash thee for you to be a part of me. Peter now thought that washing thee has to do with feet. Did not have to do with feet only. He now started adding my hands, my head. Hallelujah. So from this we can see that the conversation has changed slightly. Verse 10 should end the practice of feet washing. Look at verse 10. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. That alone put an end to every practice of feet washing. Look at Jesus again. He that is washed. Yet remember, what makes you washed is what? Being a partaker. I will sprinkle clean water on you. What does that mean? I will give you my spirit. How do you receive the spirit? You receive the spirit by hearing the gospel and believing it. How do you receive the spirit? How do you receive the spirit rather? You receive the spirit by hearing the gospel and believing it. What does that mean? You are washed by the spirit. You are brought forth by the spirit. So, verse 10 alone should end all activities of feet washing. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So, what is he saying? He that is washed, can we say he that is baptized? Remember. You see, we are building up, right? If you remember our teaching on baptism, okay, turn with me to Mark 16, verse 15. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. And he that said unto them, go ye into all the world, and he said unto them, rather, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and preach the gospel, and preach the gospel to every creature. So now look at verse 16. He that believeth that is baptized. He that believeth that is baptized is saved. What does it mean to baptize? Is washed by the Spirit. So the way John the Baptist used water to teach about the washing by the Spirit is actually supposed to mean that when you hear the gospel, you are washed by the giving of the Spirit. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Yeah, so can we go back to John 13? Go back to John 13. John 13, quickly. Go back to John 13, chapter 13, verse 10. So, what did he say? Jesus said unto Peter, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. But can we say, but is baptized every whit? So he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet. What does that mean? He that is baptized needed not save to wash his feet. What does that mean? He that is washed by the giving of the Spirit needed not save to wash his feet. What does that mean again? He that believeth the gospel. Yeah, that word there needed. That word there needed actually speaks of necessity. That word they needed speaks of necessity. Yeah, but now with the addition of the next word in front of it, not, it means a negative necessity. That means something that is not necessary at all. Yeah, that word there not means to have. Yeah, so look at it. So a good way to read John 13, verse 10 will be Jesus said unto him, he that is washed does not need to wash his feet. Hallelujah. Or does not need to only wash his feet. Okay. If you stick with that, it will mean that you can start doing hand washing. Yeah. So he that is baptized, that is as believed the gospel, needed not. Yeah. Why? But that but there is so affirmative. Why does he not need to wash his feet? Because he is clean every whit. See, if you check the Greek manuscript of that word every whit, it's a combined word. The word is together. That word there, every whit, actually is a word that is together. Every whit is together. Yeah, what I mean is, it is one word. That's what I mean, really. Yeah, so he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every week. So that word there, every week, is a word that means holos. It's the Greek word holos. H-O-L-O-S. And it's a word that means holy, whole, or completely. To be complete. To be complete, to be thoroughly, to be wholly complete, or to be... Yeah, really, so it means to be whole, to be complete. So a good way to read verse 10 will be Jesus said unto him, he that is washed, that is as believed the gospel and received the Spirit, does not need to wash his feet, but he is clean, holy. What does that mean? He is clean completely, and ye are clean, but not all. When he says but not all, he's not saying not all your body is clean. He's not saying your leg is clean. Remember, the narrative is switching gradually. The narrative started from water in the basin, planning to wash the feet. The narrative now switches to, if I don't wash thee, not your feet, if I don't wash thee, you can never be a partaker of me. So when he says but not all, he's not saying that it's not all Peter's body that is washed. Verse 11 explains, for he knew who should betray him. So when he says but not all, it means amongst those who will partake in the present feet washing, not all are clean. That alone ends all practices of feet washing. Look at it. They were about to wash their feet. He now tells you, for you to be a part of me, I must wash you. He now tells them that even though I wash all your feet in this room, not all of you will be clean or are clean. Verse 11 tells us, for he knew who should betray him. So there was one betrayer amongst those people, the 12 in the room. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Ye are not all clean. Who was he speaking about? Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. For he knew who should betray him. He knew who should betray him. So that means this conversation was happening in the midst of the ceremony. See, let me draw your attention to something. Jesus washed the feet of Judas Iscariot that betrayed him. Yes or no? Yes. True or yes? Yes and true. Jesus washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. Right? But what did he say? So that alone in your mind should make you use your, you know, your initiative to understand that he's saying that in as much as I'm going to dip your legs into this water and clean it with my towel, it doesn't do anything to your heart. It doesn't do anything to your person. Yeah. So it means that you can have people whose feet are washed, but they are not clean. And it means also you can have people who are clean, but their feet are not washed. Yes. I'll say that again. Yeah. I'll say that again. Remember, Peter was trying to humble himself. In Peter tried to humble himself, Lord, don't wash me. Jesus now began to teach or started teaching a key principle in salvation. He says, if I do not wash you, you cannot have any inheritance in me. He said that in verse 8. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash you not, thou hast no part or lot in me or with me. Peter, in being humble, Jesus corrects and switches and handles that narrative properly. I must wash you for you to be clean. So in as much as we are continuing feet washing, I must wash you for you to be clean. So same thing with baptism. Can people be dipped into water in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost and come out and be unsaved? Yes. Can you dip somebody into water and say, put him the first time, name of the Father, bring him out, second time, name of the Son, third time, name of the Holy Spirit, and he's not clean? Yes. Why? Because the only one who makes one clean is the work of Christ. The only one who makes anyone clean is Christ himself by the giving of the Spirit. The only one who sprinkles, and that sprinkling makes clean, which is really a giving of a heart, which is really a giving of the Spirit, is Christ himself. So upon resurrection, he has given and we now have made available to mankind the cleansing and the washing by the Spirit. So a man believes the gospel, he is washed. Ye are washed. Ye are washed. Ye are washed. He now tells us in verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Was he going to wash all their feet? Yes. What did he say to them? Ye are not yet clean. So, what does Jesus mean in verse 10? It means, if I wash you, you need not to wash your feet. So, Jesus was teaching, I will give a supply of the Spirit by my service. Look at it. In Jesus' picking towel and putting a basin, remember from our first teaching, it is a sign to show service or hospitality. No, when I mean first teaching, earlier in this teaching. Yeah, Genesis 18, Genesis 19, 1 Timothy. Yeah, to show rendering of service, which is really hospitality. The widow must have washed the feet of the saints culturally. Are we together? Yeah, in what Abraham did, what you see Lot did in Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19. Yeah, what happened there? It was to show hospitality. So you render service. So imagine you are in your house. Someone is traveling by. Yeah, and doesn't have a place to stay. You bring him into your house. Yeah, to render hospitality to him. In that, you are serving him. Because you give me shelter, you give me food, you give me house. So Jesus was teaching with feet washing that I will give a supply of the Spirit by my service. Okay, hold your thoughts in John 13. I go to John 15, verse 3. You see, the Bible is to be read holistically, really. Yeah? Look at John 15, verse 3. Look at John 15, verse 1. Look at John chapter 15, verse 1. John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Yeah, we've done a proper study on that word, taketh away. It doesn't mean that he will cut off away. No. As a farmer, if you are on your farmland and you see a tree not growing very well, because you want it to bring forth harvest, what do? You prune it. Yeah, if that is how you do, it means that you end up cutting and taking away before your harvest season. So that word they take it away is airo. It means to raise up, to elevate, to uplift, or to support. Yeah, to bear one's burden. Yeah, that word they airo. That word take it away is a single word in the Greek manuscript. It means to raise up, to elevate, to support, to have a grip on, or to supply support to. Hallelujah. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he supports. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So for every branch that brings forth fruit, he supports it so that it can bring forth more fruit. And the one that looks that doesn't bring more fruit, what do? You support him more to bring forth more fruit. to every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he supports, he uplifts. He supplies support to it. He supplies service to it. He now tells you in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What did he say in John 13? If I do not wash you, you will not be a partaker of me. What does that really mean? If I do not wash you, you will not be clean. What Ezekiel 36 tells you, if I sprinkle clean water on you, you will be clean. What is sprinkling clean water on you? John 15, 3 now tells you, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now ye are clean. Ye are clean. Lift your hands over here. Say, I am clean. I am clean. I am clean by the work of redemption. Glory to God. Yes, so go back to John 13. Go back to John 13. Remember, in John 13, in verse 11, it says, ye are not all clean. Ye are not all clean. Verse 10. Jesus answered him and said, he that is washed needed not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Confirmation of John 15, 3. Now ye are clean through the word. Hallelujah. Yeah, so remember this conversation. Remember, we have not seen any part of John 13 so far that we've read where Jesus has already put their leg inside the water. What did he tell them in John 13, verse 10? Jesus said unto them, to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every week, is clean wholly, is clean completely. That clean is not physical body clean. What did he now say? He says, ye are clean. So he already said, ye are clean before he put their feet inside water. Okay, look at it now. Look at verse 10. In your Bible, verse 10 should come before verse 12. Yeah, look at verse 10 again. And ye are clean, but not all of you are clean. For he knew, that is, Jesus knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye all are not clean. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment, he was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? So he said, one who is washed is clean, doesn't need to be washed. He said that before putting their legs into water. He put their feet into water, yeah, in verse 12, verse 13, verse 14. Ceremony, look at verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. So pay attention, dear saints. Look at verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. Remember, what did Jesus say? Wash. I wash thee not. Jesus is washing in verse 8. He's speaking about a total, whole, and complete washing every week. Look at the verse in verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. What would that be? That would be a form of ceremony. So the same way you say, this is my body broken for you, amongst you, do this amongst yourself for remembrance of me, is the same way he's doing, or doing the same teaching, or a different teaching, or rather, a different pattern, or go away to get to the same point. Give yourself in service. The same way my body is broken for you in service. So by my service, I will supply my spirit. Remember that statement. By my service, I will supply my spirit. That is the summary of what you call the Lord's table. When you see Jesus takes bread and he breaks it into two, what he's saying is, by my service, by my rendering of service, that is giving my body to be broken, I'm supplying my spirit. So upon resurrection, my spirit is given. So Jesus now moved. Now, when the conversation started, Peter began to ask questions concerning feet, leg, feet, foot, leg. What did Jesus do? He took over the conversation and brought in salvation. What now happens? He now went left from salvation back to the ceremony just to fulfill what was done or what he had started doing by putting water in the basin in verse 4 and 5. Let me say that again. Yeah, in verse 4 and verse 5, he removed his garment, he took a towel and guarded himself. In doing that, ideally, in the average mind of everybody, feet were to be washed. Peter began to ask question. Peter, Jesus, Lord, you cannot wash my foot. What did Jesus do? He switched the conversation to salvation. He that I wash not is not a part of me. After doing that, what did he do? He now went back to the ceremony of what he was supposed to have started from verse 5. So, from verse 12, 13, 14, he has moved on from salvation back to the ceremony. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, two major things that Jesus taught in John 13. We see this, that he taught about service and taught about his work. So, he taught about his work through service. What does that mean? He taught about the giving of the Spirit that will be supplied, or the Spirit being supplied by the work he will do, which is really service. So, he taught them service using ceremonies. Within that teaching of service, he taught them sanctification. What is sanctification? Being washed and made clean every week. Now, take note of something very important. In your day and time today, yeah, let's assume we practice feet washing in God's palace. You know that, ideally, what we would usually do is that I would tie a towel and begin to wash all your feet. Yeah, I, the pastor, would tie a towel and begin to wash all your feet. The question becomes, who washes my feet? Remember, the beginning of the conversation was Jesus going to wash the feet of the disciples. How did he end the conversation? Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. One another's feet. One another's feet. One another's feet. Not pastor wash the member's feet. Not one of you should wash. That's what you see. When he said, Peter, upon this rock my church shall be formed, and all of those things, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He didn't say, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep and wash their leg. He said, feed my sheep. What did he end the ceremony with? He said, I that have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. That means, if I wash your feet as your pastor, for instance, you wash my feet. How many members can wash the feet of their pastor? So it's easy for the pastor to form service and claim service and remove his shirt and remove his suit in the office, in the church, like one waiting to run to the park. Yeah, and remove his suit and just wear a singlet and tie towel. It's easy for that, but how many of the members can actually do that to wash the feet of the pastor? So, I mean, if you want to obey Jesus, obey him to the fullest. So, he didn't say, see, for you to wash the feet of your members and none of them can wash your feet, it means that you have put yourself to be Jesus. It was Jesus that did not allow them to wash his feet, but showing them that, I will render service, and in this rendering of service, my Spirit is supplied. So, he didn't say, let one of you. He didn't say, Peter, you know you are the one that I've been talking to all along. Yeah, make sure you wash all their feet. He said, wash one another's feet. So you have to pay attention, hypodigma, to his words. A wise student of the scripture should know how to pay attention to what is being said, especially by our Lord and Savior. Remember, for every healing that Jesus did, he all pointed them to the great healing of salvation. As I say, by stripes we are healed. What healing is that? Spiritual sickness. What is spiritual sickness? Sickness of sin and death. We're healed from that. By that, the saint is empowered. So he didn't say, pastors, leaders, hear me and hear me clearly. Wash other people's feet. None of the apostles said that also. So it would mean that their attention shifted from feet washing to what he was saying. What would that be? He was really teaching about service and the work of redemption. So in my service and rendering service to you, which is giving my body to be broken and be killed by men, I'm going to supply my spirit upon resurrection. That's why you must have read chapter 13, then go to chapter 14, when he says, I will not leave you comfortless. What does that mean? By the service I am going to do, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection, I am coming to you. I want that to sink a little in our hearts. So, he didn't say, pastors, wash the feet of your members. DFL leader, go and wash all the feet of your members. No. He didn't say ushering in. He didn't say that. He says one another's feet. That's similar to what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 11. Yeah, because you do not discern the Lord's body, many of you are sick, asleep, and some of you die. You are weak. Yeah, you are. You and a lot of people die. Why? Because people were not rendering service to one another. So he said one another. So I wash your feet, you wash my feet. So since it is very inconsequential for me to be moving my shoe for you to wash it, I don't know. Yeah? Look at it this way. Can a man wash the feet of his members and not really love them? Yes. Can a man who is the pastor of a church not wash the feet of his members, yet he loves them more than one who washes the feet of the members? Yes. What did Jesus tell Peter? If you love me, feed the lamb. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lamb. Three times. How do you show your love as a pastor? You feed, not wash. A saint has been washed every week. It means a saint is clean. What you have to do is to feed. And so, if you love Jesus, what do? You feed. You don't wash leg. You feed. You don't wash. Don't tie to it. Stop being hilarious. That's so. Anyways, yeah. So it is not a man wash others. It is wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. What will the done to you be? The done to you will actually be in the conversation of I will make you clean by rendering service. So Jesus saved us. He washed us by serving us. How were you washed? How did Jesus wash you? By the service he offered. How did he offer the service? Death, burial, resurrection. So the washing is him giving his life for us. What was Jesus teaching? He was teaching service. What do we learn from that? We learn how to give ourselves for others. What does that simply mean? The believer's love walk. James 2 tells us, in James 2:19, says faith without works is dead. You cannot say you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we cannot see it by your works in rendering service to other fellow believers around you. Yeah, remember, faith without works can never mean if you have faith and you don't read your book, you will fail. No. Those are just normal laws. That's not what James was teaching in James 2. You might want to lay your hands on that teaching in series 1 if you've not listened to that. So, Jesus mixed the literal and the figurative in John 13. Literal in the sense that he said, bring basin. They brought basin. He said, pour water. They poured water. That was literal. But figurative in the sense that you will not be clean, or you are clean once I wash you, and you did not wash your feet. That's now a mixture of figurative and literal. So the question now becomes, was Judas's feet washed? Yes. He clearly washed Judas's feet. Because if he did not wash Judas's feet, remember, okay, go back to John 13:5. Rather, go back to John 13, 11. Rather, look at John 13, 11. You know, there's things, you know, it's good not to be, because you just think about the implication of things you do, you know. So look at John 13, verse 11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray. He knew, right? But did all the people in the room know? No, they didn't know. So if Jesus had not washed Judas's feet, it would mean that it would be obvious that that was the person Jesus was asking them to mark and avoid. Let me say that again. If Jesus had by mistake reluctantly approached Judas, in his reluctance is loud enough for them to get the message that, this is the one that will betray our Lord and Savior. That's why you see, when Jesus said, if you look at other accounts, when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, all of them were asking, is it me? Is it I? Is it me? Is it I? Is it me? Is it? So they did not know. So did Jesus wash Judas's feet? Yes, he washed Judas's feet. Everyone in the room would have known if Jesus did not wash their feet. So it would mean that if Jesus did not wash Judas's feet, when Jesus got to verse 11, for he knew, all of them would have known. When Jesus now said, ye are not all clean, the moment Jesus did not wash Judas's feet, they would have known that, when he said, ye are not all clean, that's brother Judas. That's brother Judas. So Judas's feet, they were washed, but was he clean? No. What did he tell them? Ye are not all clean. Who wasn't clean amongst them? Judas. So it means that Judas's feet were washed, but he was not washed. Yeah, I'll say that again. Was Judas washed? No. Was Judas washed? Yes. How was Judas washed? That the answer is yes. Is that his feet was washed by another Savior. How was Judas not washed? He was not washed. That he wasn't a partaker. That means he wasn't washed by the Spirit. That's sanctification or salvation. So it means that washing of feet has nothing to do with your heart, dear saints. So can a man or a pastor be washing the feet of his members and not all the people he's washing their feet as are washed? Yes. So as a pastor, you can wash the feet of your members and not all of them are washed. That's instructive. Same thing with water baptism. Yeah, really, let's assume water baptism is being washed. You can baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, whatever that means, yeah, and you bring them out and they are not washed. Were they washed? So to say, they were dipped into water. Were they washed by the Spirit? No. Why? Because you are only washed by the Spirit by believing the gospel in your heart. So a man can wash the feet of his members and all his members are not washed. That's a disastrous place. That is a disastrous, place to be. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that washing, the washing that is taught in scriptures is the washing of the Spirit. The baptism taught in scriptures is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the washing of the Spirit. Look at John 17, 12. Look at John chapter 17, verse 12. John 17, verse 12. John 17, 12. So what it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Yeah, remember we've done a teaching on that. Yeah, there was no scripture that said it was Judas that was going to do it. Now, but there were prophecies that came before Judas, and Judas fit into those prophecies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so it's like, imagine me giving a prophecy that one of your child is going to be a doctor. Yeah, it might not necessarily be that I'm talking to one doctor, one particular person, maybe Ayo. Yeah, but and you can give birth to an Ayo that will fit into that prophecy. Look at John 6:64. Yeah, so the saints should read the book of John holistically. Look at John 6:64. Look at, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. Look at verse 17. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, remember, the book of John was written after Jesus died and resurrected. So this was reported as a, or recorded as a reported speech. So it's not that at that time, everybody knew it was Judas. It is because resurrection had happened. You know, scholars believe that even most of the epistles were written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written or were written. Yeah, so when he say he spake of Judas Iscariot, it was after resurrection and after Judas did what he did that they, that John knew what to write as he spake of Judas Iscariot. So really, what actually was Judas's offense? Was it that because he betrayed or because he did not believe? If you say that it was his betrayal that took him out of being a partaker of God's will, it means that a man can choose not to betray and will be saved. Remember, we said one act, remember Romans 10, how can you be saved if you don't hear the word? The only way to be saved is believing the word. So it means that Judas's problem was not betrayal. He did not believe. The betrayal is actually seen as an effect of his unbelief. Because if he had believed, he would not betray. It wouldn't have been betrayal. Look at, can a man be saved by not betraying? Or can a man be saved by not denying Jesus? No. Can a man be saved and betray or deny Jesus? Yes. Say. Can a man be saved and believe the gospel and deny Jesus? Yeah, imagine, yeah, there are a lot of people that have maybe in all those zones where wars are going on. Yeah, there are people who at the point of maybe they put a knife beside their neck and say, denounce Jesus. Yeah, denouncing Jesus doesn't make you unsaved. Get that somewhere in your head and let that settle down in your heart. Yeah, once a man is saved, he's saved forever. Yet the denouncing doesn't mean you will not be saved. Why? Because you don't have the ability to remove yourself from God's hand. John 10, 28. Yeah? Go to John 10. Go to John 10, 28. John 10. Look at John 10, 28. Remember, we're saying something. Judas's issue was not his betrayal. Judas's issue... Okay, now, betrayal is a big deal, really. Yeah? What made Judas not to be a part of the gospel or part of what? Part of Jesus was what? His unbelief. Yeah, because the only thing that makes you not to be a part of Jesus is unbelief. Only thing that makes you a part of Jesus, one bread, one body, is belief. So it couldn't have been betrayal that took Judas out of whatever, you know, out of being a partaker of the one bread. Look at it. John, I think Judas betrayed Jesus. If Judas had not killed himself, he would have come back and be restored with the within the 40 days teaching, and he would be saved. Are we together? But what did he do? He allowed condemnation in his heart and he went to kill himself. So, was it the betrayal that was the issue that made him not to be an eternal life partaker? Nope. Unbelief was on his heart. So, how do we know? So, I was giving an example. Can a man be saved and denounce Jesus? Yeah, I don't believe in Jesus. And he's still saved? Yes. What makes you saved is believing. You don't have the ability to override. Yeah, you don't have the ability to override God's ability. Look at John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, including yourself, pluck them out of my hands. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Are we together? So, can a man be saved and deny? I don't know Jesus, who, and he's still saved. Yes, why? Because what made you saved was not because you were saying you knew Jesus. Look at it. A man can be saved and now say, I do not know Jesus, but he is saved. Why is he still saved? Because what made him saved is the fact that it was not the fact that he said, I know Jesus or I knew Jesus. Yeah, remember, once you are saved, the responsibility of keeping your salvation has left your hands. Yeah, remember that example. Yeah, beautiful. So what makes a man say, so same thing with Abraham. What made Abraham, the reason why you have Abraham as father of faith in Romans, that is him showing us an example of what faith is, it's not because he believed that he would give birth to Isaac. The gospel was preached to Abraham, Romans 4, and he believed. Really, it couldn't have been because Abraham believed that God would give his child Isaac. No, it can't be. That will negate the fact that the gospel is the sole means and only way a man can be saved. No, that will negate it. No. So the believing of faith, or the actions he showed, which were either of works and of faith, was an expression of the state of his heart. Same thing with Judas. His betrayal was an expression of the state of his heart. What is the state of his heart? Unbelief. 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 So, now, take note of this. Did Judas go out with the disciples and work miracles? Yes. So Judas was an unbeliever working miracles in the name of Jesus. That's instructive. So Judas had the encounter, the result, but did not believe. Results are not proofs that you are a Christian. Results are not proofs you are in God's will. Results are not proofs the Holy Spirit lives in you. Unbelievers have more results than believers, either you like it or not. That's the reality. That is the reality when you talk about financial results. When you talk about housing estate, that's reality. So you can have results and not be a believer. You can have a result, you can have results and claim to be going to church every Sunday, but you're not washed. Let me say this way. You can even have all the money in the world and be going to church every Sunday and every Monday and every Wednesday and every Friday, and your feet is washed twice a week, and you take the communion bread and wine on Sunday, and you're not saved. What makes you safe is believing in your heart. Yeah, so let's try to tie the knot around here. So John's commentary on the Passover was almost not in existence. The vital lesson we'll learn from what John has showed us is sanctification. What sanctification? Being cleansed by the offering of Christ. And secondly, service. So sanctification was offered by Jesus' rendering of service. That's what John was teaching in John 13. Yeah, that's what John 13. So we see that after the Passover, as we've explained in our previous teachings, the next thing the Lord did was very instructive: feet washing. The Passover, he explained the Passover as what? To show the typical deliverance of the saints from sin and death, which is really bondage to God's promised land. So we see that Jesus guided himself, he washed their feet. Did Jesus wash their feet? Yes. So he does it for, why did he wash their feet? He washed their feet for two purposes. To denote the work of cleansing, remember, not to cleanse them. Because Judas was washed, his feet was washed, but wasn't cleansed. So he used feet washing to denote his work of cleansing. What he had already taught previously using the Passover. The same way he used the feast of the Passover to teach about my bread broken, my blood shed, was the same way that Jesus used feet washing to teach about my bread broken, my blood shed, and to teach really about the work of redemption and service amongst ourselves. So in this that we've seen, it is an example of service between ourselves as saints. So Jesus in this particular episode taught his work of redemption and service amongst friends, amongst saints, amongst disciples. Hallelujah. So John did not pay attention to the table in his writings, but paid attention to the feet washing. So we see that, let's end in 1 Corinthians 5:7. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Look at what Paul now tells them. He says, "Purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So a good way to read that would be, "For even Christ, who has given himself in service, has offered forgiveness of sins, has offered the Spirit, has supplied eternal redemption, has supplied his Spirit." So in the Passover, which is the work that he has done, Christ shared his life in service to us that we might obtain. And from that, we take an initiative to serve one another. Why? Because we are one bread, we are one body, we are one Spirit, one baptism, one body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, did Jesus wash the feet of the disciples? Yes. What was he doing? He was using that to denote the work of cleansing. He was doing that to denote the fulfillment of the prophecy in Ezekiel. "I will sprinkle clean water and make you clean." He was doing that to denote the work of the giving of the Spirit. He was doing that to denote the work in John 3, 3 to 4 to 5 to 6. When it says, "A man must be born again, that is born of water, that is the Spirit." The same thing in John 7. "If thou be thirsty, come unto me and drink of me. For scripture has said, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. Yeah, so we've tried to tackle John's narrative on baptism, or rather on the Holy Communion, so the Passover. So if John, the gospel according to John, was all you had as the Bible, you would not see the encounter of Jesus took bread and said, "This is my body." But thankfully for Matthew, for Mark, for Luke, they were able to show us that, oh, Christ has given himself in sacrifice for mankind. We, by extension, should. That's what you see in James chapter 2, from verse 1 to 19 downwards. It says, "Can you see a man? Show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith with works." Faith without works is dead. First John tells us, yeah, when you see a man who has, but people come and meet, and he shuts his bowel of compassion. So the saint is to remember that the service that Christ offered by giving himself sacrificially is an instructive teaching to us, that we need to take cue from and take an initiative from, that will guide us in supplying service amongst the brethren. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful evening. Trust you've had a beautiful time in God's word. You know, until I come your way, stay joyful, remain prayerful. I love you all. Cheers.